You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Let's now try to unravel this noxious relationship between McKinsey, Trillion and Eskom. We've already had two podcasts in this series. Yesterday, we have more information, and that's why we're focusing on it today, because as I said to you, we promised we'd stay with putting the spotlight on the connections between business and the state. First order of business, Sikonathi. How much money was paid to Trillion, and is this Eskom mantashing after initially said they never paid them a cent or had any contractual relationship with them?
Yesterday, Eskom said they paid 495 million rand. That's the equivalent of two Nkandlas that could have been built for another president. Geoff Butlander, the advocate, told us two weeks ago that he had seen invoices of 266 million rand that were paid to Trillion. So now we know on Eskom's own account, it's double that. Eskom's own account also says we do not know why we paid these guys any amount, because one, we did not have a contract with them, and two, those invoices, we could not trace them. Yet 500 million rand left Eskom's account.
So here's the thing. Eskom says we paid this subcontractor that was doing a portion of work that McKinsey had as part of its billion rand per annum contract with us. But then McKinsey comes back now, Sikonathi, and McKinsey says to me that they never had a contractual relationship with Trillion. And I quote from the McKinsey correspondence, "We stand by our position that we never had a subcontracted relationship with Trillion. We never entered into a contract with Trillion because they were concerned about, quote unquote, the ownership, and therefore all payments by implication must have been made, quote, directly by Eskom and presumably governed by its own rules and processes." I mean, this is a hot mess for the taxpayer, for you and I who work so hard for our little bit of money, because half a billion rand of South Africans' money went to this Gupta Link company, and neither McKinsey or Eskom had, on each of their versions, a contractual relationship with them.
Let's unpack all those lies one by one. Eskom first said it did not pay a cent. Eskom then changed its mind and said it paid half a billion rand. Eskom first said it did not have a contract. Eskom talks about a subcontract with Trillion. I asked all of them yesterday, which one must I believe? Must I believe what they said in May, in April, or must we believe what they said yesterday? They still have not been able to tell me which story must we believe of theirs. Let's go to McKinsey. McKinsey says we do not have a contract with Trillion. Can they say the same about Trillion's work that they did with Transnet? Can they say the fact of the matter is Anuj Singh and Brian Molise were working at Transnet and McKinsey was big there, and indeed Regiment's Capital before Eric Wood moved to Trillion. Regiment's Capital and Trillion were big at Transnet. Transnet was their biggest customer. Eskom is now their biggest customer. Again, the common denominator, Brian Molise and Anuj Singh were the chief executive and finance director, respectively, in both organizations. How does it happen that Transnet is the biggest customer to McKinsey when Brian Molise and Anuj Singh work there? How does it happen that Eskom becomes the biggest customer to McKinsey when Brian Molise and Anuj Singh work there?
And we can add to that, Sikonathi, a couple of other things that haven't yet been sufficiently drilled down in. Brian Damas, remember him?
Yes.
He became a McKinsey consultant soon after leaving Eskom. Now, that may not be unlawful, but it certainly is, in practical terms, the equivalent of buying insider information. But I wrote to them last night, and I said to them, if indeed McKinsey never had a contractual relationship with Trillion, why did the letter from your director, Vikas Sagar, to Eskom characterize it as such? And more puzzling, why would Vikas in that letter have given Eskom the authority to henceforth respond directly to invoices from Trillion if, by your own light, says McKinsey, you never had a contractual relationship? And here is their response to me this morning. Quote, as we have said, that letter was inaccurate and should not have been written as such. Our investigation, supported by Norton Rose Fulbright, is reviewing how and why the letter was written. We have notified Eskom that the letter inaccurately characterized Strillion as a subcontract to McKinsey. The investigation is ongoing. Sounds to me as if they're trying to pretend as if they had a rogue director rather than taking responsibility for what might have been an historic pattern of behavior.
You see, yes, McKinsey markets itself as one of the biggest and best global management consultancy firms. If that is the case indeed, could it be possible that in Africa's most developed economy and biggest economy in the form of Eskom, their largest customer, they could have a relationship with only one person in their company who has absolutely no supervision, can deal with their largest customers as he pleases, as Vikas Sagar allegedly did.
Mm.
How possible is that? How believable is that? McKinsey, on a client that pays them R1 billion per year, which is Eskom, they only have one person with absolutely no controls whatsoever being in charge of the whole account, and he or she can dish out money as he pleases. That account is 1.4 billion rands worth if you take the 500 million rands that Vikas Sagar allegedly
authorized
out to Trillion and the 945 million rand that they took for themselves. That's 1.4 billion rands.
100%. Now, let's
what
just do.
What kind of consultancy has got
100%
lack controls?
But you know what the interesting thing is? I mean, they trip over their own explanation, even while trying to do PR spin, because in part of their correspondence, Ikonati, they acknowledged that they did work with Trillion at some point while they were doing due diligence. So my question then becomes, if you are, as you rightly pointed out, Ikonati, this amazing global corporation, since when do you work with Ikonati and you say to the guy, hey, Ikonati, I don't know whether you're a crook, Werner, but let's work together for one work stream and I'll decide whether to continue after my due diligence. I mean, that's just that. Do you believe that?
And we do that at Transnet and we do that at Eskom. And we are now supposed to believe this.
Yes.
And it comes from the company that is supposedly advises on the best management practices. It cannot manage its own relationships as they would have us believe.
Mm. I want to move on to the suspension question. Here again, there's logical incompatibility. I didn't fully follow what happened yesterday, so you're going to give me the version that came out of the presser. I'll give the version from McKinsey's correspondence with me. McKinsey doesn't say that they were booted out of the building and they're not doing work with Eskom as we speak. I asked them that question. They say that effectively, it's not their wording, but they are effectively implying that Eskom is lying, Ikonati. They say, quote unquote, we mutually agreed to suspend our work with Eskom on the 10th of July and wrote to Eskom confirming this to allow both Eskom and McKinsey to conduct their own reviews of events. We have also agreed to cooperate with Eskom. So in other words, McKinsey's version is, no, we have just had a cup of tea and decided honorably for mutual benefit for us to temporarily not be on your premises. But Eskom's version seems to be saying something else. So somebody here must be lying.
Somebody here must be lying, or everybody here must be lying. Let's punch one little hole in McKinsey's statement. You see, it says, a McKinsey spokesperson says, am I correct?
Yes.
Or does it have a name of the person?
Well, it's got the name of the spokesperson who is based in London, but I'm also sitting on correspondence from a senior partner in the Johannesburg office, so I've got it verified.
At the very first line says, a McKinsey spokesman says, they are instructing you to not use their names. Are they so ashamed of that statement that no one will attach their name to it? Yesterday, I insisted on the name of the McKinsey spokesperson, and they reluctantly gave the name. That's just the start. Why would no one want to attach their name to such a statement, so important one? And again, you have to choose which lie you want to believe here, Eskom's lie or McKinsey's lie. Eskom says we booted them out of the premises. Mackenzie says we booted out of the premises. One says we had a contract. One says we didn't. Please do choose which one you want to believe. If you are tempted to believe Mackenzie, then extend that the relationship they have with Trillium all the way back to Transnet. And in fact, even drill it down, the relationship they have with Eric Wood all the way back to Transnet and to Regiment's capital, and ask them if they are willing to say the same about both relationships, because they are a copy of one another.
Final issue, because you and I only have 2 minutes for today left, Sekonati. It makes me sick to my stomach that not only are we narrating a story here of looting from Gogo Dlamini and tax-paying Sekonati Mantshantsha and Eusebius Mkhize, and on top of the fact that the looting inherently is unethical, unlawful, and it also reduces energy security, and also the price evolution of electricity itself becomes unpredictable, which is bad for the economy, etc., etc. On top of that, as if we are not being kicked enough to the ground as citizens, these guys are getting bonuses.
They are getting not only bonuses, they are getting fat bonuses upon fat salaries. Then, which brings you to the question, why would anyone decide, let's gift that comrade half a billion rand? What do they get in return for it? Is there perhaps another hidden bonus there, which comes on top of the massages that that people get and things? Why would Eskom, the accounting officer of Eskom, agree, not only agree, but send the check to Trillium when they themselves say we do not know what work they did?
Absolutely.
What are they getting in return?
Absolutely. Sekonati, I love your work, your instinct. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome, sir.
I was Sekonati Mantshantsha, who is the Financial Mail deputy editor and an investment writer at Business Day. James asking, why don't you get McKinsey on air? Dude, I would love to have McKinsey on air. I would love to have the acting CEO here. It's because they are running for the hills.